Welcome back, folks. This is Pastor Craig live on WGH Talk, and we're broadcasting from the I have a problem saying Marion County. I keep wanting to say American County. We're broadcasting live from the Marion County Fairgrounds, and we'll be here for another hour. I've got Scott Spears with me, and then we're going to go for two more hours after that till 8 o'clock tonight, and we're going to be getting a lot more guests coming in. So there's all kinds of good reasons to just keep tuned in to us. All the broadcasts from here from the fair are being sponsored by Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. I've heard of that guy. Study His Word Radio can be heard by going to the WWGH1071.com and selecting the archive page. Also, you can hear Study His Word Radio's weekly podcast at studyhiswordradio.org. That's studyhiswordradio.org. Have fun at the fair. So I've got with me Scott Spears. Scott, when I was talking about my experience at the fireworks the other night, I didn't have a chance to mention something, but I saw something really strange happen at the fireworks that I've never seen before. But it happened twice. When I saw it first, I thought, oh, no, that's an accident. And then it happened at the end. And I didn't know if that meant they had two accidents or maybe that was part of the show. But I'll ask you if you've heard anything about this. They were about two-thirds of the way through the fireworks. And in the course of fireworks going off, a huge ball of flames came up from the ground area, and it was like a mushroom cloud. I mean, you could see the flames and the black smoke. And so I thought, you know, that was fireworks that exploded before going off. And then again, that same exact thing happened during the finale, the grand finale. So have you heard anything about that?
You know, I haven't, but it's interesting that you bring this up because I had told you a few weeks ago I was here on the Coliseum, or on the fairgrounds grounds, to see a stunt show. And at that stunt show, they had pyrotechnics, and I ran into the gentleman, Scott Krosky, who lights off the fireworks here at the fair every year. And you had asked about having him on your show. I was going to have him on the 4th. I tried to send him a Facebook message, and I had talked to him that day. He said, are you going to be at the fair? I said, yes. He said, get in touch with me. I said, okay. I sent him a Facebook message. I sent him an email. Those were the only two ways I knew how to get in touch with him. And just this morning, I got a Facebook message back from him, and he said, I only got on Facebook this morning to check my daughter's progress at the fair, the pictures. Here's my cell phone number. So for next year, we're ready to go.
All right.
So now we can get in touch with him. But I could get the answer to that now because I have his cell phone number.
Yeah. It was interesting to me because, like I said, I'd never seen anything like it before. And, you know, your immediate impression, well, that's not fireworks. That's like an explosion.
You know, I don't know. I hear from you that the fireworks show was great. The one in front of my house was good, loud, but good. I like cannons going off out front, and I like the sky being lit up till 11:30 at night. You know, I think people think I'm joking to that to a certain degree, but no, you know, knowing that nobody got hurt, I really did like it. There's something I could walk out on the porch and hear this thing is going on, knowing that nobody blew their fingers off or anything. You know, it was kind of nice.
Well, you know, it's really kind of funny because, you know, every year people in, quote, the neighborhood are lighting off their fireworks, and you hear the booms, you know, the noise is going till 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night. And this year, with them being legal, I swear I heard more neighborhood fireworks than I ever have. They were later than they ever have been. But for some strange reason, it didn't bother me in the least this year. It was like, no big deal.
My worry in that has always been injury. As long as we're not having injury and people are being careful, then for the most part, I'm okay with it. If it does become a problem that people are getting injured a lot, I hope people do reevaluate it.
Yep, and I also haven't heard anything on the news, you know, the last couple of days about, an individual blew their fingers off or, you know, fireworks injuries were up 20% or emergency room visits. I have not heard any news at all regarding that.
Neither have I. Now, maybe this could be, I had a thought the other day, maybe this could be because fireworks are becoming safer. I don't know. I've never tried to light any off. Right. I don't know if it's an easier thing to do now. I don't know if the danger has been taken out of it. I really don't know.
Yeah. But I guess that's good that we didn't hear a lot of tragedy stories afterwards.
Absolutely. Now, coming up next hour, I am kind of excited about this because I believe Mary Ellen's coming, but you never know. Not because of her, just because it's the fair, and it's, you know, you really can't control these things. Matt's supposed to be here. Sean's supposed to be here. I expect both of them to be here within the next hour. You'll stick around with us. I'll be here. And the not-so-amazing Rex and Dana will be back over here. And the deep-fried Twinkie thing will be going on. So there's going to be a whole lot going on in the next 2 hours that I think are very, very unique.
And we are going to make a conscious effort to avoid trying to stop any young ladies with sashes on that say
they're
this
it.
Queen. Yeah, we've
given
up. We've
enough people.
We've given up.
You know what? We have never had the group of people that we're going to have here in the next 2 hours together. Matt, Sean, you, I, possibly a person we haven't heard on the air for 6 months, maybe, Mary Ellen. It's never happened, so why not just go with that for 2 hours?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Interesting, too, earlier in the day, George Kasota stopped by.
Yeah, but George is still here. I think he's over there watching me, so he might be here.
So
if he wandered over, I wouldn't be surprised.
So listeners who are very familiar with George Kasota, but he's moving around great. The guy looks great.
91 in August.
Isn't that amazing?
When you made it to 91, I wonder what your perspective is. Just, what's tomorrow? You know, at 91. I mean, I guess in your own mind, you probably can't fathom, you know, logically, you know you're 91. Right. But I don't think that ever settles in your brain. That's such a high number.
Yeah. I definitely would not try to convince the guy to buy long-term CDs.
No. You know, there are things when you're 91, I bet you think about, you know, like car leases, and because George still drives, and things for your house, storm windows, just normal stuff you wouldn't give any thought to at a younger age. At 91, I think you probably would.
Yeah, you know, the priorities in life and your perspective on things does go through changes as you get to your golden years.
You know, it's interesting, because I haven't talked about it yet, but interviewing James Anderson this morning, which I'm sure our audience heard, you know, that very personal interview, which I appreciate James for doing, but something that I honestly never knew, I knew James was younger. I did not know he was that young.
Yeah, because he said he was, what, like
32.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, I know. He is quite young. But that was a very interesting interview.
Well, I was just shocked at 32 because of the situation of the interview being cancer. Number one, that's very, very young. And number two, I just never knew that he was that young, I guess. I had no idea. Thinking about age in terms of it, you know, where my age is, I would have not thought that he was that much younger.
Right. And, you know, it's, again, it's kind of interesting. You and I have talked about my son who had lymphoma, and he was 32 when he was
diagnosed. Isn't that something?
Yeah, it really is.
You know, I would not know, not that, again, it's a huge age difference between where I am and your son and George, or not George, well, George, there's a big difference there, James Anderson. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, that's a long time.
Right.
If that happened to me at 32, I think I would have had a little different perspective.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
At this point, I figure, you know, it's probably half over or pretty close to it, unless you get those fake hearts. I hope they'll have those fake hearts by the time I'm up there about 85, 86 years old.
Well, and then, you know, someone like myself who's 64, I've never had a cancer diagnosis. But if I did, it wouldn't come as any big old shock or surprise or, you know, I mean, at this point in my life, you know, it's like, well, if I get cancer, you know, not that I would expect it or assume it, but it's not going to be surprising at all.
Well, and the thing of it is I think it's all perspective, and I thought James's perspective was very interesting, that his fear belied in his son, that his son is young, and he'd like to see him grow up. But I don't know, see, what is grow up? Because I don't think it's graduate. I mean, it's have kids, become a grandparent. And that's a long way down the road when you think about it. So I don't know. I think it's probably perspective.
Well, it's interesting, though, you know, because you were talking about, you know, death and fears, and his biggest thing was his son. But I you know, I'm 64, and if you ask me, my biggest fear about dying, if I have one, is the thought of how it would affect my son and my grandkids. You know, both of my sons are grown up and they have kids of their own. But you tend to think on those personal terms because, you know, let's face it, that's the most important thing in life is personal relationship we have. So, you know, you always wonder, have fear for those people that are left when you're gone. Whatever really the reason is that you're gone, you just have some kind of thought or concern about those people, you know, that when you're gone, but they're still there.
I think that's right. And I think overall, that really is what life is all about. I mean, we're all going to go at some point. We're all headed for the same out, but we don't know when. And maybe that's the fear. You know, I think maybe if we all knew when or how, it wouldn't be such a worry, because it is the second biggest fear behind public speaking.
I think there's two sides to that. I mean, I understand exactly what you're saying. If we knew when and how, we wouldn't have to worry about it.
The day before wouldn't be good.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, and really think about it, how about the 6 months leading up to that, knowing that that day is coming? How about the last year leading up to that?
But would you live your life fuller knowing that it's coming?
Well, that's the thing. Would you have the personality? Would you have the determination? Would you have the strength to, okay, I know the date, I know when, I'm going to make the best of it, of what the time I've got left. So, you know, because there's two ways. Or you could just sit and worry about it.
You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, kind of nothing, a little spiral off of that. But yesterday, you know, I got up. I did the morning show. I came to the fair. We did 2 hours from here. I went back to the studio with Matt. I did an interview with this girl for the Gypsy Queen.
The Ghost Whisperer.
The Ghost, yeah, I know. Whew, I can't wait to see that episode. Then we went out to the cemetery because she'd never been out there. So we went out to the cemetery and taped some more. And I get home, you know, after 8 o'clock last night. And I'm thinking to myself, do I need to do that at this point? Do I really? I mean, what is the drive there? What is the point? And I really don't know what it is. I thought about that last night. I thought, you know, why?
And I got a question for you. If you were asking yourself why about yesterday, now then tomorrow you're going to have an even longer day.
I know. But tomorrow I'm prepared for.
Okay.
Because that's a normal Friday. We're only adding 2 hours on next Friday, and I've known we were going to have the fair broadcast, so I expect that. But on fair week, and knowing I'm doing the morning show, you would think I would have said to that, maybe we can do this next week. But I didn't. Now, why? I don't know. See, I don't understand that. There's some kind of drive there, but it's not a drive. I don't even know what it is, so it's weird because it would have to be something that I'm doing.
I guess, really, and this doesn't explain it, but it's just you have the passion for what you're doing. Well, when you have a passion for what you're doing.
Well, on top of that, strangely enough, getting home at that time last night, I knew I had the James Anderson interview this morning, and I knew that I had to go to the studio for that one, and I knew that was a very important interview that I wanted to do properly. So there was even that. You know, getting home to make sure that was still all okay. So it was just, I really don't know. It's strange because of course I like what I'm doing. And James said that today too, which I thought was interesting because one of his big fears was losing his voice. Yeah. Seemed to be bigger than cancer itself.
Because he even made that point that if he'd lost his voice,
it would not work.
As you say, why would the parks want to keep me around?
Yeah, but you see, now that fear I don't have. Now, I don't want to lose my voice, but not because I can stay on the air. Because I feel as if, not that I'm ready to leave yet, but I don't feel like, I don't think I have to define myself anymore. You know, James is a lot younger, though. So I can see that. And also, you know, he wants to support his family, and I understand that as well. But just because I like what I do, when he said that earlier, you know, I'm not going to disagree in an interview, but I thought to myself, I don't think that would be the biggest reason behind losing my voice, so I could stay on the air. To me, it would be losing my voice that I could not communicate, have small talk, that sort of thing. Being on the air, you know, I've done that for 20-something years. I'll continue to do it, but I don't need to do it.
Right.
Which, again, so I don't understand the drive.
Yeah. You know, if it ended tomorrow, you'd be okay with that.
Well, I mean, it has for so many people. You know, they come in radio and they don't give you, you're done. Now, luckily, my situation has been better than that. I've never had that happen in 21 years. But, no, I mean, you know, everything ends at some point. So you better get it all in while you're doing it. And I feel I've got it all in. And I really don't know. You know, it's a weird thing to say that I have no more mountains to climb. Because, obviously, yesterday, if you look at it, you say, man, he's still running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Going to cemeteries.
Yeah, going to cemeteries. Why? And why?
The audience is completely dead there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and the thing, yeah, and that hasn't been the deadest audience I've played to on a show. But the thing of it is I don't necessarily, the drive is to, I don't know, get them all, I guess. While you're doing it, I think you want to be first. You're not going to get them all, but my philosophy has always been to get them all. You don't, but you try. But if I wasn't in the field, I don't think that would necessarily be there.
Are you constantly working on interviews? I mean, do you always have, like, several potential interviews going on at any time that you're working on? And
I would say. You know, and maybe that's part of it last night. When this girl wanted to interview me, you know, I've had people tell me no. So maybe I don't want to say no. But I hate being interviewed. So But this was not about me. This was about the Gypsy Queen, so that was different. So I thought that would be okay, because I do like that. I like that aspect that video she's creating will direct people toward the Gypsy Queen, which I hope people do know about in Marion, because I think that's fascinating. So, you know, maybe that was part of it. You know, you want to do stuff like that.
But is there anywhere in Marion that you can find out about the Gypsy Queen other than people talking about it?
I don't let you know where it is. I wouldn't know. You certainly wouldn't know the story unless you researched it. Right. And that's a sad thing to me. There's a lot of sad things in Marion history that are going to be lost when a generation goes away. I don't know who's going to continue to tell those stories or point those things out, you know? I don't know where that'll go. We just had a gentleman here before we came on the air who was in Marion radio for a long, long time, and it's very well deteriorated. These stories used to be passed down through broadcasting, because they were word of mouth, and it used to be in the newspaper because everybody got the newspaper, but that's not the case anymore. I don't know what happens to it.
Yeah, and it's interesting because not only are those people passing on, hey, hello,
hey.
Welcome.
Find the parking space okay? Good. Hey, there we go.
All right. We are welcoming Mary Ellen to our booth.
And Mary Ellen will be with us starting here at 6:15 through 8 tonight, and we are going to have a lot of fun with Mary Ellen. It's going to be... Now, Pastor Craig, you were saying you came to the Christmas party with Mary Ellen.
Party and met her there, but I've never actually sat down and talked with Mary Ellen.
We'll be doing that tonight.
I'm doing great.
We're going to have fun. But no, you know, I don't know. It's interesting, but I'm glad James Anderson came on this morning, and I'm glad he made that announcement on my show. I appreciate that. That's a very personal announcement to make.
It really is. And
if people are just tuning in, James came on the show this morning and announced that he had thyroid cancer.
Right.
At 32 years old. Yeah. But he has had his thyroid taken out, both sides of it. He's on a pill for the rest of that. He does have to do one radiation treatment in, I think he said September or October, maybe early October. Other than that, things are okay right now.
And so you shouldn't see any interruption of as far as the public face of James Anderson.
No, as far as I can tell, he'll still be out there. But, you know, I'm glad he came to do that. You know, he's a public person here in Marion, being the naturalist. He speaks at a lot of places. And we had a conversation the other day here at the fair that he had not talked about it. And that at some point he's going to have to talk about it. So he came on and talked about it.
That's right.
You know, and that's a tremendous thing. He said something very nice about the interview this morning on social media, which I appreciated. But you know, that I don't know why I would go on that deep. I got at some point.
You got to at some point, but you know, there's a fine line between about it, but you don't want to just put your whole self out to the public, you know. You want to keep some things to yourself, you know. The question is, like, how vulnerable do you want to get? You know, how much personal information do you want to share?
Well, it's interesting, though. I've had a few of those really. I don't know if people remember Anne Concepcion. You know, God rest her soul, had breast cancer very young age, in her 30s. She had a first bout of it, and they thought they got it all, and I interviewed her then, and that was a more positive interview because she had... You know, she was going through the chemotherapy, but she got through it. But then it came back, and I interviewed her, I think, about 3 months before she left us. And she's Dr. Concepcion's daughter, for people who remember Dr. Concepcion, who's still around, I believe. Not practicing, but still with us. And, you know, I remember when she came on the second time, I asked her questions she didn't get mad at, but some of her friends listening did not like, because... if she was fearful of the end, because it was not good at that point.
Right.
So I don't know.
But, you know, people have that question.
They do, and I think that's... And you can say none of your business.
Exactly. You know, you can answer that way.
It doesn't sound good on the air, but you can say none of your business. Well, I'll tell you something. Now, interesting that Mary Ellen's sitting here with us, because I remember... Now it's... You know, years from now, we are all going to be saying... remember the pandemic. Remember the pandemic. It's hard, unless you were aware and lived through it, how important and serious that was. And I remember Mary Ellen coming on the radio at one point with me and announcing that she had COVID at the time. And that was, you know, that's an admission at that point that, you know, you're... Did you give any thought about saying that on the air, Mary Ellen?
No, I didn't. It didn't. I didn't have a bit.
No. Because you got through it okay.
Yeah, I got through it just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wished everybody had, you know.
When you get a diagnosis like that, did you ever think, boy, no?
No, I didn't get that sick.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a positive. Now, Pastor Craig, have you ever had anything like that you had to reveal?
No, I've been fortunate that I've never really had anything like that I've, you know, had to reveal. You know, I've had a couple things in recent years that have, you know, have been issues, but nothing ever that serious.
Yeah.
So no, haven't had that yet.
Well, yet. Just hold out.
Yeah.
Hold out as long as you can.
Or something
like that. Yeah. I don't know. It's a very interesting thing. Now, Matt Morgan will be joining us here tonight. Sean Kraft will be joining us here tonight. The magicians from over here. And boy, I that trick yesterday, I'm still amazed by the whole thing. Pastor Craig's been trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and you know, I came here today and I told you, I've got it figured out.
You thought you had it figured out.
I've got it figured out. And I explained the whole thing. And I made one mistake.
Yeah.
And it shot down. At least half of my explanation was destroyed at that point. So I got to go back and think about it some more.
Well, for people who didn't hear the broadcast yesterday, this is what happened. And I have been doing fair broadcasts now for over 20 years. And I'm telling you, I have never seen an up-close magic trick this amazing. And it happened right here. It's a father and son duo, Rex and Dana. Dana came over here, the son, and before we went on the air, just 3 minutes before we went on, we were in the news break, he said, pick a card. And it was just a regular deck of cards. I picked one card out. And he said, hold on to it, don't tell me what it is, and keep it. And I laid it right here on the table next to me the entire time, face down, after I looked at it. I didn't show it to anybody else. Dana took what was left of the deck of cards, he turned it all up, and he laid it on the table, on his side of the table, so we could see it's not a dummy deck, that there were different cards in the deck. So we end up doing the interview, and I interview them for probably 20, 30 minutes, because they had a show coming up, and tell me they're from North Carolina, and da-da-da-da-da. And we get back to the trick, and he says, are you ready for this card trick? And I said, well, yeah. So he pulls out his phone. He didn't tell me what he was going to do here. Pulls out his cell phone and goes to the WWGH website and pulls up a picture that he had posted at 11:43 yesterday morning.
Four hours
before I drew the card out of the deck. And it's a picture of him holding the card that is sitting beside me on the table. Now, Six of Hearts. Now figure that one out. So if he comes over tonight, Mary Ellen, and tries that one on you, keep an eye out. Look for the Six of Hearts. Make sure it's not the Six of Hearts again. I have no idea how that was done.
Tricks, because I can't understand most stuff.
No.
Some of those guys are really good.
And these guys have been here doing three shows a day, maybe four shows a day, all week.
Are they going to do a show tonight?
They are, but they're going to come over here first at 6:15 and join us.
Oh, are they?
So they're going to come over and we're going to do some magic with them.
You'll get a chance to see at least one trick, probably two.
Yeah,
so.
And a lot of fun it is. Yes. Now, we should mention, by the way, that our broadcast here from the Marion County Fair are sponsored, supported by Study His Word Radio with Pastor Craig. Study His Word Radio can be heard by going to WWGH1071.com and selecting the archive page. You can also hear Study His Word Radio's weekly podcast at studyhiswordradio.org. Have fun at the fair. Now, Pastor Craig, what's your favorite fair food? We talked, it's a pork dish, isn't it? Get a sausage the other night when we were out there.
Well, I've had the bratwurst here. I've had one of the.
How do you eat your bratwurst? That's the important part. Sauerkraut?
No.
Oh, you got to have sauerkraut.
Well, I will have sauerkraut the second time I have a bratwurst, but the first time only a little bit of mustard because I want to get the flavor of the bratwurst. And then once I've got the flavor of the bratwurst down, yeah, okay, we can get sauerkraut. But I've had that here, and I've also had a crunch wrap here from one of the
vendors. Crunch wrap?
Yeah, it's just like the Taco Bell crunch wrap, but it's got a lot more of the fresh ingredients in it. So it's well worth getting it here if you like Mexican.
Well, Max decided to have dinner before he came over and joined us here today. My goodness, what is that you've got in your hand?
Curly fry with chili cheese and bacon.
A curly?
Holy cow.
Down, like, if you, like, walk out those doors and you walk straight around the path, it's just down there.
How much did that cost?
$8.
So he's paid $8 to clog his arteries in
That's
one
That's a lot
way.
Of food, though. But we can't lie and say there's not a lot of food there.
Small. That's small. Yeah, this is a small.
So that consists of fries and bacon? Cheese? Wow. I'm glad you're 19. You get a little older than 19, and that won't work for you, especially here at the fair. And you don't even have a beverage. Just knock it back, huh? Okay. Well, Matt Morgan will be joining us. He ain't going to do much talking here in this hour because he's eating this chili cheese fry.
Collaboration.
I get it's like a lump of something over there. It's just
like a brick.
But they have everything here at the fair.
They do. I had a chili dog the other night.
Now, was it Coney sauce or was it chili sauce? This is a big difference.
Well, to be honest, I think it was a can of Manwich that they had just...
Manwich? Well, that's not either. That's not a chili dog.
Well, first of all,
it was a Manwich dog.
It was advertised as a chili dog. I have no control over what they put on it. I'm just saying that's what it tasted like.
That seems like some misrepresentation there.
I think so.
Yeah. Now, we do want to mention we're here in the Coliseum Veterans Memorial. Great temperature here tonight, as opposed to the last couple days when it was 90 degrees, although it has stayed cool in here.
Yes,
no air conditioning in the Vets Memorial Coliseum, but it has stayed cool in here. We got Briley, who we interviewed yesterday, who Matt bought something from, doing great work over here in the Marion County Coliseum Veterans Memorial. This group across from us, they've got some great wood cutouts, Ohio State things, Woody Hayes. I know Sean was very interested in the stuff they were doing. George Kasotis and Joanne are right over here watching the cooking exhibition. So there's a lot of stuff going on in here right now.
There really is. And I got to ask you, Matt, did you buy something or did you commission him for a future project?
I bought it.
Oh. So you walked away with it.
Oh, okay. Well,
no. You don't have the thing from Briley yet, do you? You even talking about the food. You thought he's into that food.
Let me restart this.
Go ahead. Ask the question again.
Okay. So I'm gonna turn around in my chair and face Matt and say,
"Yeah."
So Matt, what you bought from Briley, is it something that was already made, or did you commission him to do something?
Oh, it's commissioned.
Okay.
And what is it?
So what's he making?
I wanted him to make a Green Bay Packers, like, painting. He has, like, a whole bunch of other football teams over there, and they're really cool. And I wanted a Green Bay Packers one. I asked him if he had one. He said he did not, but he said he can make me one.
All right. Very good.
And at $20. Not bad. Not bad in this day. It's a homemade, one-of-a-kind commissioned item. Riley is 17 years old, has sold items in Australia, overseas, runs his own little business there, and has sold, I know I'm going to get this wrong, is it over, just has sold over 1,000 items now?
Yes.
Okay, about 1,000 of those. So pretty good for 17 years old.
Gotta love
enterprising person.
That's right.
And Matt, I guess 1,001 on the list.
That's setting the bar high.
Setting the bar high.
For other 17-year-olds.
You know, the Vets Memorial, Mary Ellen, do you know what year this was built, or about what years it was built? 60s?
My father was part of me. He was responsible partly for building this. He was on the fair board at the time, and my grandfather was also on the fair board practically his whole life. Yeah. So I'm a fair board person.
You know, I was telling somebody the other day, was it yesterday? Yeah, we had the County Commissioner, Dr. Mark Davis, on. And I was talking. I said, well, Mary Ellen will be down here tomorrow. And he said, you know, that's I'm going to have to stop by and see her. And I said, yeah, come on down. And one of the things we talked about was, I said, you know, Mary Ellen is closely associated with the cities, with the school named after you and things like that. But I said, you know, Mary Ellen was a county politician and lived in the county. So the fair is kind of like coming home.
Hey, I spent a lot of time here. I'm not kidding you. I was involved in everything here. Yes.
Now, when you were county treasurer, did you come to the fair?
Oh, yes. I certainly did. That's where you campaigned. I went to 82 county fairs when I ran for state treasurer the first time. I said they had to push me out the door on the last two, I'll tell you. But they had TV at the county fairs. They had radio. And then I got to meet the people, and that's all very important.
It's a good place to do it. And Pastor Craig and I were talking that it is a very interesting thing this year. I don't know if it's the first time it's happened, but the Republicans have their 10 out there. But the Democrats do not have a presence this year at the fair.
Well, they should be here.
Yeah. For whatever reason. And we'll find out as time goes on what that's all about.
One of the other interesting things that Mary Ellen said is, you know, she'd gone around to 82 of those county fairs.
And just remember, there were only 88, so she only had 6 of them.
And they're only in the, I mean, it's not like
there's a short period of time.
It's
not like year-round, yeah.
But she also said radio and TV were there. Stop and think about it.
We're it here.
We're here.
We're it.
But yeah. That's it.
Of them too. And that was so important too to me, you know.
Yeah. Off the top of your head, Scott, when was the last time that TV was actually here at the fair?
You know, Channel 4 did used to come. Now, I don't know why Channel 4 was the one, and I'm not saying Channel 10 and Channel 6 never came, because I'm sure they did. But Channel 4, I think because maybe of Bob Nunley, partly, being a Marion boy, and I think there was a tie-in also with Jimmy Crum at that time when he was at the station. But they did used to broadcast quite a bit from the Marion County Fair, and we're here for many, many years. George, how you doing? Do you want a seat? Do you want a seat? Okay, yeah, we'll just push a chair over there by you, George. There you go. Just relax there for a second, George. Now you just partook in something that we haven't interviewed anybody. Is the cooking segment going on over here? Yeah, Grant. Yeah, well, and certainly you know about the restaurant business, George.
Cooked carrots, but he had a cooked carrot that was delicious.
And you don't like the cooked, but he did it differently.
Yeah, different in the equipment that he had, the kitchen craft stuff. That stuff is amazing.
Are you going to buy a set of that?
I don't know. We're talking about it.
Do you still do much cooking, George?
I do a lot of cooking.
And you haven't brought me a baklava sundae since I don't know when.
I know. That's been a long time.
We'll work it out. We'll work it out. Well, I'm glad that, because we had not known what was going on over there all week. We've heard the gentleman, so I'm glad you got to take in the cooking show.
The kitchen craft equipment is a little different than most equipment. And the way the seven layers of the metal that he has, it's waterless cooking. We don't need a lot of water with his equipment.
Really? That's very interesting. Well, maybe we'll have to get him over here tomorrow and talk to him.
Graham. His name is Graham. He'll explain to you what goes on with waterless cooking.
Well, that's very interesting.
I'd like to know more about it because it sounds kind of weird to me. I don't know. I drink a lot of water. I like water. I like water.
No, I like water too, but it's amazing what he's doing. Have him come up. He'll come over.
We'll get him over tomorrow, and we'll find out about waterless cooking, and is it healthier? Why is waterless cooking healthier? Why?
Ask Graham.
I know it's olive oil and lemon juice, George, but I didn't know about waterless cooking.
Well, you know me. I'm the old lemon juice and olive oil.
91 next month.
August the 2nd, I'll be 91.
Now, you didn't have a party last year. You said you didn't want a party for the 90th. 91st, you're going to do anything special?
No, I've had enough parties over the years, so I don't need any more.
Well, you're doing pretty good at 91. I think when you make it to 91, you should have a party.
I think so, too.
Yeah, any year after 90, just have a party and enjoy. Now, Matt ain't going to make it because he just ate that chili con carne. I don't know what that was. So there were more nitrates than that.
You better have a party for your next birthday because you're not going to make it to 91.
Celebrate 20 big.
The 70 years I was in the restaurant business, I've done enough parties. I don't need any more parties. I did parties all through the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, 70s, the 80s. Golly, I did every show at the Palace Theater for the last 70 years. I did parties for the cast of every show that was ever at the Palace Theater.
Now, you know, George, of course, your wife is the county auditor, Julianne Kosotis, and I was just asking Mary Ellen about this. I don't think we had a chance to talk about it the other day when Glenn Coble was here with us. The Republicans obviously have a presence here, but unfortunately the Democrats do not this year. Of course, Julianne is here in the Coliseum, which that's good, but the Democrats themselves don't have a presence. Do you know why that is?
I think they just gave up. I think they just gave up because they tried, and I don't know. Well, hey, look at Scott. He's been in there 16 years as mayor of Marion. And he, when he ran for treasurer of the state, after that, he gave up politics in Marion, Ohio. So I don't know. Maybe he'll go into Columbus and do something down there.
Well, George, I don't know if you heard when Scott was on my show last, which I think was last week, but he kind of laid a revelation, and this is a paraphrase, it's not a quote, and people can listen, but I was badgering him about what he's going to do when he leaves office. Did you hear this interview, Pastor Craig?
No, but I'm aware of it.
Okay, well, so you can vouch for what he said. Now, again, somebody will misquote me here, so it's not a quote, it's a paraphrase, but what are you going to do? And Scott said, well, I still have running for office in my veins, it's salt in the veins, and so on and so forth, and I'm not going to make any announcements until I'm out of this office. He did say he would like to run for treasurer of the state again, but what the revelation was in the interview I did with him last Tuesday was, when you say no more local politics, he said he would not rule out running for county commissioner next year. Very interesting.
Very interesting, right.
Two seats are up, Mary Ellen.
That'd be good.
Two seats are up. Mr. Apfelfeller's up next year, and Kerr Murray's up.
Been there forever, yeah.
They have been, and yeah. I don't know if Scott's waiting to see if they're going to run again. I don't know what the thought in that is, but he did say that. I'll have to send you a copy of that interview, Mary Ellen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Scott would be a good county commissioner. I think with his experience in politics, he could really help the county.
Well, that state treasurer's race was a bumpy one, and no fault of Scott's. It's just to run statewide as a Democrat right now is a big uphill battle, unfortunately.
How about Marion, Ohio?
That's a tough round right now, too.
No, I'm just
at the fair. Yeah, there you go.
I'm just surprised. My wife is the only Democrat that's really been able to maintain her position.
She's still in office. How many years, George?
Joanne is in her fifth term right now. She's been there 16 years. She's gone for 20.
Wow.
And if she goes for 20, I'm going to be close to 100.
100 years old. You know, Matt, have you ever met George?
I'm not.
Oh, yeah, George here.
Husband of Joanne Kasotis, our auditor, for nearly 20 years now, and also restaurateur here in Marion for well over 70 years, was the maitre d'. I think the last maitre d' Marion ever had at Steve Dakota Grill. He would wear the tuxedo in all the time. Ran for county city councilman at one point. So George has been around, and I've been interviewing George for well over 20 years now, a wealth of knowledge.
I heard him sing the PS-117 song.
Oh, PS.
Okay, George, you want to give it to us here? No, you're... that's the first time in 20 years George has ever not sung something when on the spot. He always sings. I can't believe it. Oh, good old Pete. I'm not going to force you, George. I don't want to force anybody at the fair. You can think about it if you want. We'll do it later on. Okay. Well, that's okay. It's the old fight song. Now this is interesting because people love that song. That is very true. But people have said, what does that mean? PS-117. I bet Mariella, you know what PS means? No?
No.
Public school.
That's how they named their schools in New York.
Yeah.
And actually a lot of other places. Right. They're numbers. Right. Right. They do that.
For the last 100 years.
And there are other states that do it, too. Not many, but...
New York was the first state United States that named their schools after numbers.
Right. Exactly.
And I attended 117.
Did they skip 13, or did they number a school PS-13?
They had a PS-13.
Okay.
But I was at 117 in the Bronx, New York. And it was a brick building back in what year was that? I think it was 1930. Well, I was born in 32, so it had to be 1942.
When did you come back to Ohio?
We were in New Jersey first. That's where my mother's sister was. Then she went over to her father's sister in the Bronx. I didn't go to school in Jersey, but I went to school in the Bronx for almost a year. And then we came back to Ohio.
Very nice. And so the PS-117 is public school 117 that George attended in the Bronx. And there's a fight song that's about 45 seconds long that they all learned. And I think all schools should have fight songs. Matt did the River Valley fight song for us, and it just doesn't have the panache that those old fight songs back in the 30s used to have. 117 is a good fight song. And I did all 100 and whatever schools in New York, did they all have fight songs, George? They all had them. Well, see, they were more creative in those days. Mary Ellen, did your school have a fight song?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You mean Hardy?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
See, when I went there, I have no idea what it was. Apparently, we weren't singing.
Well, right now, I'm trying to think of it, but we had one.
There was one. Well, you know, well, that's the thing. Hardy. I just... Oh. Well, see, I don't think it's probably changed over the years, but I have no idea what it is.
Hero, Hardy, I keep it steady. When the battle comes, we're ready. That was it.
That's it. That's all it was?
No. There was more than that, but that's what I remember.
I was going to say, that's not very clever if that's all there was to it. No, it's Harding High School. Hey, I went there. That's where I graduated.
I certainly did. I'm not going to get into that, George.
Well,
it hadn't been that long ago.
Oh, dear old Harding High, keep it steady. When the battle comes, we're ready. We will always fight for you. Oh, it was a great song because we did that. I played in 1949, 1950. Football team. I was the captain of defense. And we beat Columbus Central. Columbus Central was the only Columbus team ever came to Marion Harding, 1951.
Very nice. See, that's a history lesson right there. And Pastor Craig, what have you learned from all this today? And we got 2 hours to go. Mary Ellen's going to be here with us. We've got the amazing Rex and Dana coming down. We've got Matt with us. Pastor Craig's going to be with us. Sean Kraft is coming. Boy, it's going to be big here this evening. People are listening. They're They're excited, I can tell.
They are. And
it's at a fever pitch in here.
It is. And I've learned that we've got about 30 seconds left, I think.
Is that, well, I'm glad you're keeping an eye on it, because I certainly wasn't. All right, stay tuned to WGH Radio here. We are going to come back with the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, who spent many times at the fair. The almost amazing Rex and Dana Magic, Matt Morgan, the whole bunch. Stay tuned. We're going to be back very, very shortly.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels,
Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on mayor on 2020 on the $10 bill. And this summer, they are going to poll people in the United States to see who should go on there. But it will be the first woman on the currency in like 120 years or something.
Well, the women that they